Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Ki. So before I begin, I'll just chant invocation mantra. Today we have a special class on the appearance day of Om Vishnupad Shishimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. So before beginning, we'll just chant the invocation mantra. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gata Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I'm very grateful for this opportunity to meditate and to share some of the achievements, the glorious events in the life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We are not powerful enough to glorify the devotees. There's a verse in one Vaishnava bhajan, Eka ki amara nahi paya bala harinama sankirtana. That alone, I do not have the strength to perform harinam sankirtan. Actually, on our own, we don't have the strength to do anything without the blessings of Vaishnavas. So I am requesting your blessings and permission to make an attempt to glorify Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for my own purification and for your transcendental pleasure. So with your permission, I will continue. When thinking how to glorify Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I thought, I must take shelter of our founder Acharya. Actually, he is the most beloved disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the most obedient servant of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, because we are in Los Angeles, I found one lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave here in February 7th, 1969. Srila Prabhupada gave a lecture here. So I took some of the points from this lecture that stood out to me, which was practically most of the lecture, sentence by sentence. And I wanted to share that with you today. And then as experience allows me, in my very small experience in Krishna consciousness, then to say something which comes to mind. But it will be primarily reading some of the points that Srila Prabhupada has made in glorification of his spiritual master in his lecture. So without any further ado, I will take your blessings and begin. So Srila Prabhupada, he began the lecture speaking about great leaders and the nature of great leaders. He said that a great leader, they're not satisfied with their own personal comfort. And he gave an example, just like in your country, here in America, you have George Washington. He said that he was not satisfied with his own comfort. Actually, he sacrificed his own comfort for the country. And in the social field, Prabhupada gave the example of Karl Marx. Prabhupada said that he was felt so compassionate upon the Russian peasants that he started the communist movement. So in this way, the great men, that is the way, Srila Prabhupada said, that they are never satisfied with their own comfort. They're always thinking about the needs of other people. And he said, that is their greatness. Srila Prabhupada, he explained that just like 600 years ago, Advaita Acharya was in Navadvipa, and he was a leader there. And he was looking around at the plight of the people. They were just interested in sense gratification. Actually, Navadvipa is the seat of learning for all Brahminical culture in those days. And 600 years ago, Advaita Acharya was looking around and he's seeing such debauchery going on. Actually, people were so puffed up, they were so materialistic. They were just trying to outdo each other. Who could show who was more religious by holding a bigger religious function than the next person? It became so degraded that people were having religious functions to marry their dogs. And just to hold a religious function, they would marry their dogs. So they were more interested in their dogs than they were in Harinam Sankirtan. So Advaita Acharya, he saw that people were engaged in such activities. And he wanted to do something about this. He felt in his heart, this is a pitiable situation. But he knew that it was so far gone that he couldn't do it himself. So he prayed, only if the Lord himself comes will this be possible. So he prayed. We know that he worshipped Shalagram Shila with tulsi leaves and Ganga water. And he incessantly roared prayers on the banks of the Ganges, praying for the Lord himself to come. And indeed the Lord himself did come in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, in his immediate pastime, in his beginning pastimes, he was covered. It means that he didn't exhibit his function of as an avatar. Actually, he exhibited the function of a very proud logician who was antagonizing the Vaishnavas. And Advaita would just say, this boy is so beautiful, so bright, if only he'd become a Vaishnava. And then he did. He did become what he came to become, what he came to do. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inaugurated the Sankirtan movement. And he spread it throughout India. And it became very, very successful. And then after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the six Goswamis, they managed the Sankirtan movement also. And then after the Goswamis, 250 years after the Goswamis, Srila Prabhupada mentions, as with everything in the material world, things started to deteriorate. And deviations start to happen. And if you mentioned the name Vaishnava, then people would deride. People would deride. It became nothing more than what was called, Vivekananda said, he even criticized, he said that Vaishnavism is sex religion. The Vaishnavism, the so-called Vaishnavism became known to be so cheap. They thought that Radha Krishna's transcendental pastimes were nothing other than ordinary exchanges between boys and girls. And in the name of Vaishnavism, they were having sex relations. So it became such a ridiculed sect. So after this debauched idea of Vaishnavism, after this bad, what we could call publicity, there was Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared in the line of Gaudiya Acharyas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a householder, a government officer. And he was looking around. You can imagine it. A householder, a government officer, his business is the welfare of the state. His business is justice. His business is to uplift the society. And he's looking around and seeing something which is so dear to his heart, something which is so pure, something which can save the entire world, if even mentioned in society, is ridiculed because of this improper deviations and improper presentation of Vaishnavism. So he felt very strongly that this had to be redeemed. Srila Prabhupada mentions in that lecture that there are 13 pseudo-Vaishnava sects. There are, he names them, Prabhupada names them. Who can name one of them? Anyone can name one of them? Owls? Not owls that fly in the sky. Owls? Bowls, yes. Actually, I'm just reading Mukunda Maharaj's book, Miracle on Second Avenue. Who's read that book? Please, if you could. This, I highly recommend. It's just so much nectar. Actually, it's full of bliss and it's full of Srila Prabhupada's love for fallen conditioned souls. And in that book, when Srila Prabhupada's disciples went to San Francisco, they did the mantra rock dance. So then some of these bowels, they showed up. And they came to the second, they came to the Haight Ashbury temple, the temple that was there. What was the name of that storefront? Where was it? What road was it on? Okay, Frederick Street, yeah. So they came and they visited there. And the devotees noticed that although they were Bengali, they were very different from the Swami. The Swami, Srila Prabhupada, he was, of course he was pure. But when they came, they had long permed hair, orange robes. One of them was carrying a poodle and brought it into the temple. And they were very extravagant and very licentious. And they were just there for performing, just there for doing music, Indian music. So even they were showing up in Prabhupada's pastimes. So the owls, the bowls, another one was Karta Bhaja, Neda. There's Dharavena, Shuni. Srila Prabhupada commented in this lecture that they are present in London at that time in 1969. There is the Shaki Becky. Who is, knows what the Shaki Beckys are? Shaki Becky? Yeah, if you go on Indian train, you will see. If you go on Indian train, you will see these are men who dress up like gopis and they pretend to be ladies and exhibit the feminine attributes. And actually it's become very, very degraded now. Now if you go on an Indian train, you'll see these men who are dressed as women. And they go there and they have ways of getting money from you. They take care on Indian trains. But these Shaki Beckys, they are dressing up as women, but they're men. And they're thinking that this is a spiritual practice, actually. Then there's the Gauranga Nagari. There is Chudadhari and Ati Vadu, and then last but not least, the Smarta Brahmanas or the Jati Gosai. So Srila Prabhupada says there's 13, and if I have to name 13, it will take 13 hours. So he said, I'll just take one or two. And of the most important, he spoke about Jati Gosai. So he explained that this Jati Gosai is the caste Brahmanas. And this caste Brahmanas actually Goswami lineage, they have this understanding that just by birth, that one can become a Brahmana. Just by birth, one becomes a Goswami. But in actuality, we know this is not the case, and we'll hear later on that how Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur played a role in transforming this idea. They took this Jati Goswami, they took this idea that just by birth one can become a Brahmana, and they created a whole movement out of this idea. But originally there were six Goswamis that were empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First there was Rupa Sanatan, Raghunath, and then Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta. So these were all directly or indirectly empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these six Goswamis, they were coming from, some of them were coming from Mohammedan backgrounds or Mohammedan influence backgrounds. And they were saved and elevated by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were empowered by him. And they were raised to the standard of Goswami. For those who don't know, Goswami is a title given to someone who is fully in control of their senses. Go in Sanskrit means senses, and Swami means master. So someone who has the ability to fully control their senses and use their senses in the service of the Lord, they are given the title Goswami. They are acknowledged. This person is sense-controlled servant of the Lord. Now this other category, they're called Jati Gosai. They were thinking, just by being born with the title Goswami, then I am a saintly person. So this is cheating. This is cheating. It's by quality and not by birth that one is a Goswami. So, Srila Prabhupada explains in this lecture that they come from ordinary person. The Goswamis came from ordinary person, of course, in their lila, in their backgrounds, ordinary person. So there was no caste, but they were Goswamis by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So, Srila Prabhupada goes to say that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's contribution is that he defeated these caste brahmanas and established the original teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Goswami is by work, by quality, not by birth. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada quotes Madhya Lila 8.1-8. Kiva Shruva, Kiva Vipra, Nyasi, Kena Noi, Ye, Krishna Tattva Veti, Se, Guru Hoy. So it's not, the consideration is not if one is a Shudra, a Brahmana, or a Sannyasi. That's not the consideration. The consideration of who is a Goswami is Ye, Krishna Tattva, one who knows Krishna Tattva, Say Guru Hoy. He is a Guru. He is a Goswami. Krishna Tattva means the truth about who am I, who is God, what is the relationship, and what is the goal of that relationship. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. So someone who's in knowledge of that and who's practicing that, he is Guru, Goswami, or Brahman. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, that was his contribution. That he defeated all of the leaders, some of the biggest pandits that were propounding this philosophy. So within, Srila Prabhupada says, within 100 years, he had made this turnaround by his preaching in his lifetime. He had turned around this, one of the major deviations. Srila Prabhupada explains an interesting historical point and how these Jati Gosai were cause some of the major destructions to the culture of India. He explained that because the Goswami started to hate the Shudras, you start to despise them. Then the Shudras become disgusted because they're not really Brahmanas. Not by quality. And they're just outcasting us. They're just picking on us. And so they became disgusted and they became Mohammedans. So then the Brahmanas are against Shudras and Mohammedans. So then when the British came, the British, they took advantage of this split in the culture and they created Hindustan and Pakistan. So this Jati Gosai is instrumental in causing such a division between the Indian people. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's contribution was very, very important. This philosophical contribution is very, very important. So for this reason, during his life, he had to face so many protests. So many people were out to get him. Actually, there was some people that actually wanted to kill him. And they collected 25,000 rupees. And they went to the police. And they said, we'll give you this money. And we will do something against Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. You don't take any steps. You don't do anything. So the policeman is saying, okay, we are police and we take bribes. Normally we would. This is our business. But he said, for sadhu we cannot do. So he refused the bribe and he went and he informed Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur that you be careful because there's people out to get you. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he took up that missionary spirit. He took up that fighting spirit of preaching. And this is the method of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just like the Chan Kazi. Then he protested. This is not right. We are performing the Yuga Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan, and you are protesting. You are stopping us. You are performing acts of violence against our people. No, we will protest. This is the mood and method of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada mentions that is the method of preaching. And Srila Prabhupada explains, as Advaita called for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to make a rectification in the society at Navadvipa, similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in order to create a revolution and to resurrect Vaishnavism from this ridiculous state of Sahajism, he called the Lord, he called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, please send one of your own staff. Please send one of your own men. He prayed to him like this, you send one of your own men. So, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave his wife, gave birth to a son. On 7th of February, I'm a little, maybe someone can clarify in Bhakti Vikash Maharaj's book, Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, he mentions it is 1974. But in the lecture, Srila Prabhupada says it's 1874 or 1867. Who can confirm? No? So we will go with Prabhupada. Prabhupada said 1874. I'm stuck in this century, last century. So when he was born, there were very amazing attributes in his personage. When he was born, he was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck and his body like a Brahmin thread. And actually, this left a permanent mark on his body throughout his life. This is a very auspicious sign. The astrologer, when they looked at his body, they saw all the symptoms of a great personality. We know that when Krishna was born, also these symptoms were there, 32 signs. The astrologer saw all 32 signs on his body. And because his brain was so big, it meant that his head was very big, and it was actually much bigger. It was out of proportion to the size of his body. He had all the, you know, there's in Nectar of Devotion, it mentions that there's seven places which are red, there's five places which are high, five places which are, three which are deep, three which are, five which are fine, and so forth. So he had all of these signs on his body. So he, it's a pretty unusual birth to have these markings and these signs on the body. Then when he was 6 months old, it was time for Rath Yatra. And he was living in Puri, Jagannath Puri, that's where he appeared. And Jagannath Puri is a very special place. It's explained in Padma Purana that the significance of Puri is that one of the great significance of Puri is that all of the Vaishnava Sampradayas, the four Sampradayas, they appear in Purushottam Kshetra in Jagannath Puri. So it's very, very important for Vaishnavas. So in Jagannath Puri, on the grand road where Lord Jagannath has his Rath Yatra procession annually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was living a quarter of a mile up the road from Jagannath Temple. So 5 months to 6 months after his birth was time for Rath Yatra. And usually the Rath Yatra cart rolls nicely up the street, but it stopped for 3 days. Where did it stop? Right outside his house, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. Right outside his house. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took advantage of this, being an important man in the society, and being the wife of a manager. Is Bhagavati, is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife's name, I believe. She took the child, who is named Bimala Prasad. They took him time and put him at the feet of Lord Jagannath. And then as they put him at the feet of Lord Jagannath, it's explained that he was reaching out for the feet to touch. And then the garland fell. The Lord is carrying so many garlands. And one garland fell and poof, onto the baby. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, this is a sign. There's too many signs. So he saw that I have prayed to the Lord and this is a sign. And he took very great care of this child. Throughout his life he watched him. So there are many notable things throughout his childhood. One pastime is when he was between 3 or 4 years old, he came across a mango, and he started to eat the mango, but he didn't realize that the mango wasn't offered. It wasn't prasadam. And so he... his father said, what are you doing? You're eating this mango, it's not offered. And he realized that the mango wasn't offered, and he felt so bad. He made a vow that from now on I will never eat mangoes. And for his life he kept that vow, never to eat mangoes. I'm laughing because we had in London we had one brahmachari and he was very very fond of burfis. So one day he went into the pujari department when no one was there. All the pujaris were downstairs on the altar. So he thought he would take an opportunity to go and steal the burfis. But he stole the burfis that were to be offered the next day. And so he took it up to the ashram and started eating the burfis. And he was like ecstatic. So then the next morning, when we were making the announcements, Mahajyoti Prabhu makes the announcement. And he's like very... he's a very Prabhupada man. He's very stern and strict, but loving, very beautiful. So, very strict. So, and he's quite funny also. So he said, somebody has stolen Krishna's burpees. And then you look around the room and said, and they were not offered. And you look around the room and everybody's like, who would do that? And there was one bright red face in the room, and it was so obvious. So my friend, he vowed never to eat burpees again for the rest of the day. So I'm reminded whenever I hear this pastime, I have a practical example of such an experience. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was such a personality that at such a young age he made such a vow, and he continued it for the rest of his life. So a little later in life he became very famous. He became the favorite of the king. as an astrologer, and he started his own school in astrology. And he had many students. And he had a school in a place called Midnapur. So he became famous as a learned person. Of course, also because he was a Vaishnava, people knew him as such. And in that Midnapur, that's where there was a great meeting between all the learned pandits. And the topic of the meeting was Brahmana and Vaishnavism. That was the topic of the meeting. So there were many great pandits which were invited to go. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was one of them. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his health was not so good at this point. He was feeling quite ill. So he said, "You go there, Siddhanta Thakur, you go there and you address them, you speak to them." So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he went there and he addressed I cannot do it justice, unfortunately, I'm sorry. I can give you the gist of what happened. He went to the meeting, and when it was his turn to speak, he took the opportunity to quote from scripture in such a prolific way the glories of Brahmanas. And they're all Brahmanas. Most of the assembly are there to hear, to establish that Brahmana is higher than Vaishnava, and to discredit Vaishnava, and to once and for all establish that the Brahmana, the Jati Gosai, smarter Brahmanas, are superlative human beings. That these are the epitome of a human is a smarter Brahmana. That's what wanted to be established there. So Bhaktisiddhanta quoted from Shastra in such a prolific way that Brahmanas are the crest jewels of society. They are worshipable. And all the Brahmanas are is he a Vaishnava or a Brahmana? He's just glorifying us like. And they were really satisfied at heart. I actually thought, he is our friend. So after glorifying Brahmanas, then he started to quote from scripture in a prolific manner, how Vaishnava is Brahmana and beyond. How Vaishnava is superior, is the topmost Brahmana. And in this way they were astonished. They were, in America, gobsmacked. After that meeting, people were thronging, people were rushing to grab his feet. The security were had to keep people back. They had to take him to the side and dunk his feet and take that water and sprinkle it on the crowd to pacify them, because they could get some bhakta pada duli, get some dust from his feet. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, this was, Srila Prabhupada noted this as his major contribution in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. Shortly after this, that discussion and those points are in a book which is now available called Brahman and Vaishnava. It's a book which is available in Bengali, and I believe now it's in English also. So after this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he left this world in 1914. He left this world. And he instructed, and Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he instructed him that now you continue. You continue this mission. So in 1914 to 1918, he was just thinking, how am I going to push on this movement? How am I going to do this? And in 1918, he started his Gaudiya mission. In 1918. Before that, he took a vow. Actually, I guess it was between, it's not noted in the lecture, Srila Prabhupada is noted, but there was a famous vrata that he took, which was to chant 1 billion names of Krishna. Yeah, that's correct. 1 billion names. That was his vow. And he completed this vow to chant 1 billion names. And after this, he said, okay, now. Then he started his Gaudiya mission. Such a personality, such determination. So, in 1918, it's recorded that he started his Gaudiya mission. And in 1922, another notable occasion was one young student was dragged to his assembly by a friend in 1922, and that was, his name was Abhay Charan. And this Abhay Charan was a follower of Gandhi, and he was a nationalist. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, upon seeing him, he was paying obeisance on the ground. Upon seeing him, when he was just getting up off the ground, he said, "You are intelligent, English-speaking boy, so why don't you push on this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English-speaking country?" He didn't even get up off the ground. And then Abhay Charan, he began to protest, "But who will listen to India's message while they're under British rule?" Bhakti Siddhanta said, "This, whether they're under the British, under this political situation is a temporary thing. The message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an eternal message. It's the eternal religion. It is not subjugated by political rule or by time, place and circumstance. It is always effective. It is always potent." So in this way, his faith, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's faith, impressed upon this young householder. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that was in 1922, and this Abhay Charan kept this message. "I've met such a nice saintly person. Such a nice saintly person." He kept that in his mind. And in 1933, another notable event is that Abhay Charan took initiation from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That was in 1933. He was initiated. And another notable aspect of his preaching in 1933, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he sent one of his leading sannyasis, Bon Maharaj, to London to preach in the Western countries. That was also the same year that Srila Prabhupada was initiated. So Bon Maharaj stayed in London for 1 year, and then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur called him back in 1934, and he had no real results, Srila Prabhupada comments. So by 1936, he had established 64 temples. 50 of those were in Bengal, and the remainder were just in cities outside other parts of India. So in early December 1936, Srila Prabhupada was feeling, I'm a Grihastha householder. I'm helping as much I can. I helped establish the Allahabad temple. I help the sannyasis with donations, organizing programs. I'm preaching. But I don't get to serve my Guru Maharaj like the brahmacharis and sannyasis can. So he wrote to him and he explained his heart. And he said, "How can I serve you?" This was in early December 1936. And in the 13th of December, just a couple of weeks later, he replied, and he confirmed his original instruction, is that you can preach nicely in the English-speaking language to those English-speaking people. So Srila Prabhupada took this as his instruction. And just 2 weeks later, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur left, leaving behind him this instruction to his disciple. So Srila Prabhupada was always meditating on this, dreaming about this. So in 1944, he started his Back to Godhead magazine, and then he started to preach, write articles in the English-speaking language on topics of the day, and giving a Krishna conscious perspective, and preaching very strongly. And he Later on, he took sannyas. I believe it was 59 he took sannyas. So 59 he took sannyas. And then in 1965, that he took that instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and he journeyed west and established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, where you are sitting today, and where hundreds of thousands of people are sitting at different any part of the day, hearing the message and the receiving the blessings of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So Srila Prabhupada explains in this, in the lecture, that just like I have received the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and I am sharing it with you, now the responsibility lies with you, the followers of my followers, students. So he said, if you simply chant sincerely, this is His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada speaking. If you simply chant sincerely, follow the rules and regulations, and everything will be successful. And also, he said, this movement has to be pushed on. This movement has to be pushed on, just like the great souls are always thinking how to do benefit for others. So those, he gives the example like Jesus Christ. He was just praying for the benefit of others, even though they're trying to kill him. He's just praying to uplift the sinful souls. So if we struggle very hard to push this movement, Srila Prabhupada says, even if there is no followers, it doesn't matter. Krishna will be satisfied if we chant sincerely, follow the rules and regulations, try to push on this movement with great enthusiasm. Krishna will be satisfied. And Srila Prabhupada said, Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate, that our senses are to be used for the service of Krishna. Material life means sense satisfaction. Srila Prabhupada says, I like this, I want to do something, I want to sing something, or I want to touch something, taste something. That's material life. I want, I like. Srila Prabhupada said, we don't stop doing, we don't stop tasting, touching, but we just do these things in Krishna consciousness. We use our senses for Krishna's pleasure. And even if others don't come, he says, you try for Krishna consciousness. You try to push on this movement. That is your business. He said that you will be pleased, the previous acharyas will be pleased, and Krishna will be pleased. And then Srila Prabhupada said, I am glad so many boys and girls, Krishna has sent them to help me. So be blessed on this day, Srila Prabhupada said. And then immediately he becomes humble. Nothing is mine. Nothing is mine. I am simply a postal peon, delivering what I heard from my guru. And you act in the same way, and you will be happy. The world will be happy, and Krishna will be happy. And that's how the lecture ends. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada ki. Jai. Go pray, Manandi Haribo. So thank you very much for your attention and giving me this opportunity to say some words in glorification of our Guru Parampara, especially on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur on this day. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.